Isaiah 43 says this: "But now, this is what the Lord says, He who created your Jacob, He who formed your Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Sheba in your stead. Since you are precious and honoured in my sight, and because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you, and people in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, because I am with you. For I tell you that the angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven." That's what Jesus said relating to what he called the young ones or the little ones. Don't look down on little ones, because they each have their angel in heaven. That's true for each one of you too. And Jesus said this: "If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any one of these little ones should be lost." 1 John 4, still on the question of love. Look at the question: does God love me? "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." It's interesting there, John really enjoying, I think, a delightful fellowship with God when he wrote this. The God of light, the God of love, the God of life. He's desperate for all of us who follow Jesus to receive that same relationship with God, to receive God's love, and then to share it. All of these readings that you've just heard are applicable to Christians, all those who have given their life to Jesus. They're all about God's love. Does God love me? You're asking yourself the same question: does God love you? Think about it. Receive these words from Scripture, from God to yourself. I want you to pause and spend a moment of quiet and reflection after each one and claim it for yourself. These are God's words, I believe, for you today. I created you. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through troubles, I will be with you. You will not be overwhelmed. I am the Lord God, your Saviour. You are precious and honoured in my sight. I love you. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. All those beautiful words from the Lord God Almighty to each and every one of us. Open our hearts to receive them. We just heard that God is not willing that any little ones should perish. Who are the little ones that Jesus is talking about? Well, it could apply to children, but I believe it's equally applicable to young Christians, whatever age, people of any age who are young in the faith. And each one has their personal angel in heaven, in God's presence. Don't you find that amazing? Each one of us here has their own angel in heaven for the face of Almighty God. That's amazing, man. And God says this: "Will come looking for me and for you if you start wandering off." Which I think is a lovely promise from him. Does God really love me? It's a reminder to question what is meant by the word love too. So in the Greek, I think there's 8 or 9 different words that are used throughout the Bible to cover the word love. But here, there's three main words that are used that I want us to look at this morning. There's philo, meaning brotherly love, a real friendship that is seen between Jesus and his disciples while he's here on earth. Then there's eros, from which we get the word erotic, a sexual love, a craving for sexual gratification. Then there's agape, sacrificial love. This is a love that God demonstrated to you and to me when Jesus hung on the cross and died and paid the price for all our sins. It seems to me when you look at those words that the word eros, if you look at the commercial adverts, all is about erotic love and sexual attraction all the time. So if you want to sell a car at the motor show, what do? You have a young lady in a bikini and you sit her on the bonnet. And you see this in so many of the adverts we see on television. They're not addressed, the things that are advertised are not addressed to our minds or our thoughts, but rather to sorts of other things as well, sadly. Dennis was preaching last Sunday evening, and he was talking about films and adverts and how love is shown there, that love lasts for about 5 minutes, when in reality it's for life. And so we never get a right understanding, and we can get so drawn into what we see on our television sets and on all the other medias that we can watch. But when we ask the question, does God really love me? I think to answer the question, we need to look at two of those words, philo and agape. To put the word philo, love, into context, Jesus said this: whoever does God's will is my brother and my sister. Whoever does God's will is my brother and my sister. Brotherly, sisterly love. And in this, we're given an immediate relationship with Jesus. Fantastic. The question is, are we doing God's will? Is Jesus your brother or your sister? Because it says, you said, whoever does God's will is my brother, my sister. It's a challenge for us, isn't it? Each day, are we doing God's will today? Not just on Sundays, but every day. So the word here, philo, refers actually living a Christian life, doing God's will. It's not about warm, cuddly, lovey-dovey feelings. It's about making a life-changing decision, a decision to follow Jesus, to walk with him every day through our lives, doing and living God's will. God loves us. He proved it when Jesus died on the cross. Begs the question, how much do we love God? Do we love him enough to stay with him and walk with him through every part of our lives, rather than places where we shut the doors and try and keep him out? How dedicated are we to living a Christian life? Now let's consider the word agape, the greatest and most important, most powerful of all loves, because it's sacrificial. It's a love that suffers for the good of others, painful love. This love is all about making a decision and sticking with it too, especially when it hurts. Jesus demonstrated his love, the agape of God. It demonstrates God's love for you and for me. Again, the question is, do we receive that love? Do we think about it or know it, but actually not receive it? God wants us to receive his love into our hearts. Romans 5:7 says this: it's very rare for anyone to die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's interesting, somebody yesterday said, I've done too many bad things for ever to be a Christian or come to church. That's an impossible situation. Christ has died for all of us, whoever we are, whatever we've done, wherever we're going. He doesn't put barriers up. So often ourselves, we put the barriers up to block God's love coming through to us. Romans 5:5, hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he's given us. Again, it raises that same question. Have we welcomed the Holy Spirit into our hearts, into our lives, into our thoughts and our minds? Have we received God's love? Have you received God's love into your heart? If we haven't, we need to make it a priority for today. And if we have, please ensure that we don't grieve or quench the Holy Spirit. He is God. God, the Holy Spirit. It's not something or some power, someone outside of God. It is God. And we are children of God. 1 John 3:1, how great is the love the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called children of God. I wonder if that's how you see yourself today. If someone says, who are you? How many would answer, I'm a child of God? Having said it, I'm not sure I would. I should, though. That's who we are. We are children of God. We need to be bold when people challenge us to say who we are or whatever's going on in your life. Because if we're silent, we're not being very good. We're not being a witness at all to Jesus, are we? As Jesus said when they were coming into Jerusalem before his crucifixion, if they don't shout out, the stones will cry out. I pray that we don't leave it to the stones to cry out. I pray that we indeed will cry out. We are children of God. God loves us. John 3:16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, for you and for me. And I think this agape love too, people tend to think of it as a mushy thing, a gushing thing. It's a decision that we make based on facts. It's our response to what God has done for us. Not might do for us or will do for us, what God has done for us. We should be certain and know in our minds that God does love us because of what Jesus did on the cross. And knowing that, we have to make the decision for ourselves. Do we choose to receive that love, or do we reject the whole idea? I know some folk have said to me, well, I want proof that God loves me. But how much more proof does one need? Jesus, the one and only Son of God, died for us and sent the Holy Spirit into our hearts and into our lives so that we can spend eternity in heaven with God. But again, that gets laughed at so many times by people on the fringe of the Christian church, spending eternity in heaven with God. That is God's promise to us, sons and daughters of Christ, brothers and sisters of Christ, God's children. Do you feel like God's child this morning? I pray that you do. And God sent Jesus so that we don't have to go to hell. And Jesus loves us so much that he died for us. Have you put your trust in him? Have you realized what he's actually done for you? What he saved you from, as well as what he's given you? He's given us so many blessings, and there's so many things he saved us from as well. Consider what Jesus described vividly as hell, referred to Gehenna. And that was the valley where children were sacrificed by fire to appease pagan gods. The smoke was always rising up from that place in there. It's a place also which was used as the Jews as a rubbish dump, a burning fire that never went out. And Jesus talks about hell 8 times in Matthew's Gospel, also in Mark's and Luke's Gospel, and in the book of Revelation. I'm sure you remember in Luke 16:19 the parable that Jesus told about this very subject. About a rich, selfish man and a beggar named Lazarus. After his death, the rich man cried out for Abraham from the place of hell, send the beggar Lazarus, that he might dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. Again, Jesus reminded us that we can't switch from one place to the other. I know that some folk are unhappy when you talk about hell, the reality of it. But they were Jesus' words, not my words. They're the words that Jesus spoke. And that reminds us to be serious Christians, to be serious in our faith. It underlines how important it is that we follow Jesus. Practically, not just in our hearts, not just in our quiet times, in our sort of times at home when we read the scriptures, but in our whole lives. We're called to follow Jesus. And he doesn't want us to suffer. He doesn't want you to suffer. He suffered on the cross. Why? So that you don't have to. So that you can spend eternity with God in heaven. Because he loves you. Does God love you? Yes, he does. Does he love me? Yes. Amazing. I think often we take the crucifixion of Jesus too lightly. He went to the cross and allowed it because he loves us. Now, I don't think we give God the credit for what Jesus went through. I think so often we think of the crucifixion when we share communion. I feel so often we don't really take it seriously. We don't underline the pain and the agony that Jesus went through so that we might receive God's love. So often we do it by rote because we always do it once a month. I'm afraid of being bolshy. I don't think that's enough. I think we need to remember constantly just what Jesus has done for us, not so that we wallow in it, but so that we celebrate the freedom and the love and the wonders that he's given us. think sometimes we need to shake ourselves, particularly at communion times, because it's so easy, isn't it, to guess why I wrote. Bit of bread, bit of fruit juice, whatever. Sorry, wake up. We really need to take our faith seriously. It's so easy to get into a routine. And we lose sight of God. We tend to forget the love of God that he's poured out upon you and upon me, upon us, upon all who believe in him. I wonder now if I ask you to lay down your life, to be beaten and mocked, and to be murdered, save me from dying. Can't see any hands going up. Right. We need to take this seriously, what Jesus has done for us. Would you offer to do that for someone else? Look at the question again. Does God love you? Does he love me? What do you think? You don't have to ask God to prove it, because he's already done it. What more proof could a person want? John, in his letters, makes it very clear that faith and the love of God is all about three things: hearing, believing, and knowing. 1 John 3:1, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. 1 John 3:10, this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. We know that we have come to know him if. So what the if is? If we obey his commands. 1 John 3:6, Jesus laid down his life for us. Also from John's Gospel, Jesus' prayer for believers, which is a beautiful prayer which I love to hear read every Sunday. He prays this for you, for me, for all who believe. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Jesus' words. He wants the love of God to be shed abroad in us, in our hearts, in our lives, in our relationships, in everything we do and say. And love is absolutely central to the Christian message. God's love for us, our love for one another. Does God love me? Does he love you? Yes, he does. And the trouble is, I think sometimes when we're hurting, or someone's hurt us, or when we're injured, we find it difficult, I think, to receive God's love. We find it easier to retaliate, or moan, or grumble, or kick someone else. When something bad happens in our life, that is the time where we really need to receive the love of God. That's where we need to put aside our own personal pains and sorrows in a real sense, receive what God has done for us, to receive his loving arms around us, upholding us. God can give us, can give you, can give me what no one else can ever do. God loves you. He sent Jesus to die for you. That's what this morning's all about. Does God love you? Does he love me? When you pass through the troubles, God says, I will be with you. You'll not be overwhelmed. You are precious and honored in my sight. Can you receive those words for yourself today? You are precious and honored in God's sight. I find it incredible. It's amazing when you actually think about it. When you think about all the people who give their lives to Jesus, how many people have died as martyrs and everything else. And God says to you and me, you are honored and precious in my sight. Two more words from Scripture for you. The Lord heals all your diseases, Psalm 103. Jeremiah 30, I'll heal you of your wounds. God's love is constantly poured out throughout the Scriptures. And this morning you might want prayer. If you do, please don't hesitate to ask. Maybe you can't feel God's love because you're hurting because something's happened to you. A friend or a neighbor or family or personal thing. If you need prayer this morning, please make sure that you don't leave without being prayed for. You may need that healing touch from God. Something in your life which needs that healing touch. Sometimes physical, sometimes spiritual. Sometimes for a relationship. Wherever you are, God wants this morning to pour out his love on you. He wants you not to be like this. To have open arms and to receive it into your lives, into your homes. If you take nothing else this morning, just take those three words home with you. God loves you. You are precious and honored in his sight.
Thank you.